Hey, comic book collectors, do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com and use the code COMICCOM15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.
Welcome to the one and only Comic-Con podcast, your podcast for comic book news, reviews, and comic community drama, with your hosts, Nemesis Prime and Milton the Madman. Are you listening?
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Comic-Con podcast, season 4, episode 3. We're recording today, January 18th, which I believe is a Thursday. Yes, I lost track of time because of Martin Luther King Day. Whenever you have that Monday off, it always throws me off. You know
what I mean? Yo, same thing, bro. Same thing.
I just can't keep track of days anymore. I don't know. Maybe I need to have a calendar like in front of me at all time. But anyway, happy Thursday. If you're in spirit with us as we're recording, happy Friday or whatever day you're listening to this. But as always, myself, Milton the Manimal, and my good friend Justin, aka Nemesis Prime. What's up, dude? What's the
going on, man?
Cold?
Oh, dude, it's like freezing over here. It's absolutely brutal. Everything, like to get to the gym in the morning, it's bad. It's icy. I saw someone on Instagram here in New Jersey, slipped on some ice and like fractured his leg and went to the hospital, and he was supposed to be going down to Orlando for like this art expo in like 2 weeks. I'm like, shit, man, that sucks.
So, maybe that's the other thing.
It's supposed to snow again tomorrow. It's not as bad as Canada. The Canadians are going to bitch at us.
We always talk about, I was just, saying getting so old, I can't remember like the calendar. Maybe that's the other thing that shows how old we are. Cause I feel like every episode right now, we start off with talking about the weather. We're like the old dudes are like, oh, what's the weather like? My knees ache from the cold.
But, you know, what's funny. I get in the car in the morning and this is exactly where we're going to go with this unplanned. Okay. But like I get in the car in the morning, I hit the car, it warms up. I jump in the car. And before like I put on like rock music to like really get me going at like 6:45, 7 o'clock in the morning before I go to gym, there's always like the morning zoo is on, like the stupid like FM commercials.
Yeah.
And it's just like, can you imagine like a comic book show being like, hey, Karen, you know what I did this past weekend? We actually had some fun with the family, and you wouldn't believe this raccoon came across my street, and he was smoking a bowl. And what do you think about that, Zach?
This is a real thing in Jersey?
Well, don't they have, like, FM stations? Like,
yeah, but, I mean...
I guess because you're not in, like, the New York area. So, like, in the New York area, it's, like, Z100. It's, like, 104.3 and 95.5, 103.5 for those local people that know those stations. But you know, like in the morning, it's just like the people that when you're driving to work. People.
Yeah.
It's like before they play the music, they have all these like clowns and they're like, hey, you know, this is what's going on in the, you know, kind of like local news and like stupid shit that they make up. And
we had,
you imagine like a comic show like that?
We had one here in El Paso that I used to love, man. There's only really one rock like station here in El Paso. And honestly, like, when I first moved here, I was like, oh, okay, it's not too bad. And then I actually like can't stand the music they play now because it's like, and I'm going to piss people off. Oh, whatever, dude. What else is new? They play like, oh my God, dude. It's like so much Metallica, so much Guns N' Roses. And it's just like over and over again. And honestly, I love rock, but I just, 90s rock, not my thing, dude. Like I feel like it's because this radio station, they play it so much. I hate it. But then you know what song they always play? I have this like running joke with some buddies, and they never realized it until I told them. But they always play Cumbersome by 3-7 Mary, which is like, who's requesting this song? Like, who is asking? So I know that they just have like this playlist, right? For some reason, 3-7 Mary Cumbersome is still on there. And I'm like, I swear to God, dude, if you listen to this station from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., I would be willing to bet like $100 you'd hear Cumbersome at least 3 times at a minimum during your day. That's which is wild. Insane. We should be going years without hearing the song Cumbersome by 3-7 Mary. Okay. So now they're super political though, and like they just, and I'm not trying to get like political with it, but The main guy was so cool for a long time. And then obviously he has strong feelings again about Trump. And you wouldn't have, like, years ago, you wouldn't have, I would never have been like, oh, he's like super left or liberal or anything like that. But like, he hates Trump. And so every episode now, every morning show with him is so political. And it's like, it's just so negative and like depressing. And I can't listen to it anymore. So now I got no morning zoo, as you call it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's, I try not to. So there's like, obviously there's many different stations, and the morning zoo are mostly like the pop stations that have like the top 50 songs. It's not like a rock song. Cause there's like, there used to be K-Rock here. 92.3 was like the big thing in like the 90s and 2000s, like growing up. Like they played everything, like Godsmack, Korn, Day to Remember, like all Metallica, like all that stuff.
Yeah.
But now there's like nothing. Like, so the only thing I have to, the only thing that I get to listen to, and it's been around probably 30 years, is 89.5. It's Seton Hall Pirate Radio. So like Seton Hall University has a radio station that they play straight up metal. Like, it's amazing the fact that it's still around. And like, usually when the, when it's not on Sundays, they, cause it's like a Catholic school, like Sundays they'll have like a church thing.
Okay.
The basketball games there on 89.5. But for the most part, Seton Hall Pirate Radio in this area has always been known for like, like hard metal, like new metal, heavy metal, like music.
And yeah,
it's really cool the fact that it's like still around. So,
so what are you saying? You want to, you want to do like a, we need to get on like XM and do like an XM morning show about comics, so like the podcast, but like a morning show about comics. Like, oh, good, today in comics.
Yeah, it's like, it's funny that there's not. Can you imagine like if people were listening to us driving to work, listening to stuff like the way that comes off? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the community and listening to us, we do have a couple questions, correct?
We do. Yes, we do.
Today's episode.
So so let's go around on our Instagram stories. First one, this is actually, so one from last week. We got, we actually have one from last week, which I feel like we semi-answered, but it, it was, it was great having Greg on last week, you know.
Yeah.
Paperweight Collectibles, you know, new collector in the community. Absolutely awesome just to listen to him, and a lot of stuff that he brought was very refreshing, right? So one of the questions from Rocksteady Collectibles is, what do you, what can we do as collectors to encourage a new generation and keep the hobby thriving? So I feel like part of that we actually got right from Greg, like with his daughter and his son, like the way he like brings them into the comic shops and shows, you know, just lets them roam type of thing, not being like, oh, here's the section that like you need to you know, you need to go to type of thing, right? Because you go into comic shops and there's usually like a kid section, but if you just like let a kid roam and like if they see something that's cool, like let them do that,
right?
It's really tough. Obviously, you know, we talked about it last week with the new generation. It's really just getting them to read. You know, I said it last week as far as like kind of like is, you know, as like legacy, like if you, you know, your kid, you like, you want your kid to get into comics. So then he continues to read and that kind of just continues the hobby, because if not, it'll somehow go away. But I don't think it'll go away. You know, I don't think that people that are in their 60s to 70s that still buy comics or read comics, let's just say, or, you know, we're still going to be doing the same thing, right? Comics have been around since the, you know, late 30s. It's the same thing like video games and cards and all that stuff, like they're still made every year. I feel like comics are probably the one thing that is a lot more than anything, right? Like with different publishers, everybody's trying to get into the comic reading or writing, and books are trying to come out. So I don't know. What about you?
I don't know. I mean, it's something obviously everyone struggles with, even the publishers are struggling with, right? Like trying to get new readers in. And it's kind of like a be careful what you wish for situation, right? In terms of like when we were reading, you didn't have the shows and you didn't have the movies, right? And then like Blade came out, and then you had X-Men, Fox, and you had the Fantastic Four and Daredevil, and all the movies started to kind of come out, right? And they weren't great, but they were like cool. You were so happy. Everyone, the Spider-Mans, you know, everyone was so happy to see them. And then it was like you got MCU, and then you got the TV shows, and you have everything, right? And so we live in a very more modern digital era, right? Where so the younger generation is seeing like TVs and tablets and stuff like that, and in the phones and stuff, it gets their attention more than picking up a book. So when I say be careful what you wish for, it's that, like, yeah, I want to see all these. I want to see everyone on the big screen. I want to see them all done. And yeah, it's so awesome. But I think that also prevents, in a way, people from reading because it's not as exciting. You know, why read a book when you can watch a movie? It's kind of the the unfortunate attitude, not just kids, but adults have as well. I don't know. I think you, I think maybe you encourage, like, I talked about this with my wife when we were talking, not about comics necessarily, but like books and kids and tablets and TV and crap like that. Right. No. Like, what are strategies you can do? And it's like, well, hey, like, for example, let me just throw something out. Like Percy Jackson, right? Like the Percy Jackson TV series is going on right now. And let's say my kid was old enough to like watch it. And you're like, awesome, dude, that sounds great. Let's watch it. We'll definitely watch it. But you have to read the book first. And you don't allow them to do it until they read the book first. Something like that. In this day and age, like, it's not like older era where like you kind of got surprised about a movie coming out. Like, bro, you know, movies coming out like 3 years in advance now. Like, so
yeah,
you could be like, Blade's coming out. Okay. You can watch that Blade movie when you've read some Blade bibliography. Like, give me a couple Blade stories, give me some background on Blade, and then you can watch it. And you know, maybe that's definitely kind of like forcing kids to read a little bit, but strategies like that are encouraging. Hey, here's a graphic novel for this character. We're going to go see this movie in like a couple of weeks when it comes out. And just hope they get hooked. And, you know, the truth is they may not. Like, you know, let's not act like comics are a massive, like, not everyone's into comics, right? So, but I think that maybe that's what you do. Is if you're a parent and a movie's coming out, a comic book movie's coming out, maybe buy your kid, like you, like Greg said, take them to the LCS and be like, hey, find us what's the next comic book movie coming out? Deadpool, probably. Deadpool 3?
Madam Web.
Okay. Be serious.
I'm sorry, but it is, I guess.
Be serious. So Deadpool 3.
Yeah, we'll go with Deadpool.
So Deadpool 3 coming out, and you'd be like, hey, we're in LCS. Find a Deadpool trade paperback or a couple issues, and I'll purchase them for you to prepare for the movie. I mean, I think that's what you got to do. Some form of that is push the comics. So,
Okay.
Madam Web.
Sorry. It was the first thing I thought about because I posted the picture on.
That's true. That's actually February 22nd or something?
Yeah. It's literally like a month away. So, yeah.
Another great Spelunk. Isn't it super short or super long? What?
Like 2 hours. It's actually, longest.
It's the longest, like, Spelunk movie.
Yeah. So, let's continue with some questions. So another one from Rocksteady. He goes, why are you guys such pussies about weather in the States? Okay. So the reason, let's let our listeners in on this. So group chat, myself, Manimal, and a few Canadians, Greg being one of them, Rocksteady. And we again, this goes to show us how old we are. We talk about the weather in our group chat. And they were saying how in Canada, how they're getting all this snow and they send us pictures and all the shoveling. And I'm just like, I was going to go to the football game. What was it, like 2 weeks ago when the Giants were playing the Eagles at home in New York. And I was just like, I said no to tickets because I heard it was going to snow Saturday and Sunday. I was like, I really don't want to stay out. I don't want to be sitting outside in a football game while it's snowing.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's
free tickets. So that's where this is coming from.
So I have the answer. I have the answer.
And I don't have the answer, but go ahead. I want
this is 100% the answer. So the difference between Canada and the U.S. is we have different climates in the U.S., like differing climates in the U.S. than Canada does. You know, like majority of Canada is always cold, right? And like during their wintertime, they're always going to be cold. But like the U.S. has, we have our northern states, we have the Midwest, and then you have like the California, the Southwest, which is like always hot. Then you even have Texas, Florida. Like we have so many different climates in the U.S. that's why people are complaining or pussies, so to speak, about the different.
I can't believe, like, this is what we're talking about on a comic book show.
They're pussies about the different climates that they're in. Like if you're a hot guy, you can't take the cold. If you're a cold guy, you can't go to Phoenix and be like, "Whoa, my gosh, dude, it's so hot." And so. Funny. It's definitely in then throwing the people who complain about humidity and all that in the rain in Seattle. Then you have the Seattle people, right, with all the rain. Oh, I couldn't live there, the rain. So, yeah, it's just we have different climates. Okay. Yeah,
that's enough weather talk for season three.
He called us out, dude.
I know. I get it.
Called us out, bro.
I get it. Thanks, Greg, for the question. Next up, Mike DeVise Benson. Which comic book creators are at the top of your list to meet at a con? Ooh. So for me,
it's hard. Are you going first before you answer? Are you going legacy or current?
Anybody, I would say.
Okay.
Well, I would say that still are active at shows.
Yeah. Okay.
Active at shows. For me, I don't know, because like I've been to enough cons where I've met everybody that I wanted to meet. Mm-hmm. You know, I've met, you know, Frank Miller, Snyder, Capullo, obviously like Claremont, shit, like, you know, Neil Adams when he was around. There's really nobody even active that I'm like, I would need to get my book. I need this book signed. Man, it's such a, I can even think of like artists as well. Like, you know, I've met the J. Scott Campbells, the Jim Lees, the Art Germs. Like I've physically taken pictures with them, Todd McFarlane. You know, it's, I don't know. It's a great question. It's just really tough to think about because I do go to enough shows or enough big enough shows where these creators are, but there's also smaller shows that sometimes these creators don't go. So I don't know. It's tough because I really have met, you know, meeting your heroes type of thing. Mm-hmm. I've met all the creators I want to meet. I guess really just to expand on this is, obviously, I'll be at MegaCon in 2 weeks, and Frank Welker is going to be there, who's the voice of G1 Megatron. And like for me, like that's on the top of my list to do. Like I'm cracking my Transformers 1 because I already have Peter Cullen signed, who will also be there. So I will be cracking my Transformers 1 and getting Frank's signature. So now I will have Optimus and Megatron on there.
Nice.
That's kind of like something cool. And Ewan McGregor is also going to be there. So I'm trying to get an Obi-Wan variant signed by him.
Hello there. Is that what you're going to say to him immediately? Hello there.
Maybe like something else. Maybe like, but not that. I don't want to be that guy. Even have a douche chills if I actually said that to him.
Douche chills.
But yeah, what about you? I know you're not big onto it, but you know, I'm sure there's somebody else.
No, I love meeting creators and stuff. I don't do it necessarily for like the autographs and stuff like that. It's more like the conversation that I'd be interested in. And you know, I've met a lot of like I've met Jim Lee. I met Claremont. I've met a couple. I haven't been to like a ton of shows, but I've been to a bunch of big shows, like, you know, WonderCon, San Diego, places with a lot of people. So I've talked to a lot of people. I think right now, for me, it's more of like a current thing, right? For me, it's like, who am I enjoying right now? Who would I like to talk to about what they're currently writing or what's going on? For me right now, you know, it's probably an easy choice for me. It's Charles Soule. Like, I'd really like to talk to Charles Soule just because I'm loving the Star Wars stuff. And I'm loving more than anything the Shrouded College stuff, which I always talk about. So I think that's who I would like to talk to the most probably right now. Who else is like really Ed Brisson, like some kind of like newer, when I call them newer, cause I feel like they're kind of coming up, but like Ed Brisson, who just, you know, wrote the recent Ghost Rider run, guys like that. I want to talk to the more modern guys who are just kind of like on the come up, I guess. Not to say that Charles Soule is on the come up. He's been around for a long time, but yeah, I think that's kind of who I'd be gearing towards.
Yeah, I hear you. Good choices.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's go on to our final question. And I feel like I kind of wanted to make fun of this, but since the question came up, this is from, of course, our buddy Paperweight Collects from last week, guest on here. I assume you're all going to cover the CGC president interview. Absolutely not. I don't care. There is enough YouTube content. Now I'm going to rant for a little bit. There is enough YouTube content creators that literally need to make videos on Matt Nelson showing up on 9.9 newsstands show about all the things that are going on with CGC and all the pre-screening 9.9s, and everybody's making a video off of that video and talking about it and this and that. We're not talking about that. I don't want to talk about it. Zach, do you want to talk about it?
I mean, I'm going to be honest.
No, you don't want to talk about it, Zach. We're not going to talk about it.
No, I was going to say, I don't really like... I've seen everyone up in arms about this, and I've never been a grader. Like, I don't give a shit, dude. Like, I just, I'm in the hobby to read stories. Like, I'm not like a, I need a 9.9, a flu. Dude, you're worried about your 9.9s and your 9.8s and, oh, they're going to devalue my 9.8s. I don't know what to tell you, bro. Like, you're just trying to flip your books then.
Don't care.
Yeah.
You know, like,
CGC always pulls this bullshit, dude. Like, who gives a fuck? Why is everyone acting like, I feel like, I think the most annoying aspect about this is everyone's like, oh my God, CGC is doing this. Like, they're always up to some shenanigans, dude. Whether it's overbooking private signings, the poor grading, turnaround times, everything. It's always something with these dudes. So without talking about it, here's my final like comment on this. Is all you people who are so pissed off about CGC, like, you guys are the biggest crybabies in the world because all you do is bitch and cry about CGC, but you won't switch to CBCS because the books aren't valued the same in CBCS. So it's not about your love of the comics. So don't get pissed off. So that's my thing too, real quick. Sorry, now I got to vent. I actually did want to talk to you about this. Not so much the 9.9 shit, but CGC. The community is out here like, oh, CGC's taking advantage of us. They're just trying to make money. Yeah, no shit. They're a business. You live in a country that's run off capitalism. No shit. Like, that's how it's going to go down. So when you say things like, oh, they're taking advantage of us, this is bull crap, blah, blah, blah. Well, look, dude, switch to CBCS. But you won't, because you're concerned about the value and the price of your comic, because just like them, you're concerned about how much money your comic's worth and capitalism. So you're no better than they are. Go to PGX, dog. Why are you encapsulating your books? You should be, if you're just a true collector, like all these people are claiming to be, you're just encapsulating it to protect your comic long-term, right? Like, it doesn't matter what the price is. You're not going to sell it. Doesn't matter, but you do care. And so then why are you getting pissed at them for making a profit? Like, hey man, there's other businesses out there. Shop around. That's capitalism, dude. I don't know what to tell you. So I get so sick of people crying about CGC, dude.
Yeah. Take your business
elsewhere.
Listen, I got video games there since October, and their reason for not grading, I sent 3 games in, they're graded, but the reason why I haven't gotten them back, even though their turnaround time is like 2 or 3 weeks, is because they ran out of materials for their Game Boy and Game Boy Colors, and the one game that's sitting there is Pokemon Red Boy.
Great game.
They won't even give me the grades. Like, they won't show the grades on the website, and they won't ship the other two because, you know, they ship them all together. And I'm just like, so I've literally been waiting way longer than I should. And it just like, it is what it is. And then the same thing, like I ranted and raved 2 months ago about sending in newbies magazines. And for whatever reason, they've just been sitting there. And even though that it's surpassed the quote unquote, like turnaround time, quote unquote, business days, they're just sitting there, and I just don't care. First of all, they're not mine. They're not going to be sold. They're for him. Right. So it is what it is. But, like, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm over all the caring about CGC.
I can't remember the last time I even sent in books to CGC that weren't signature series. Like, New York, Baltimore, whatever other cons. Like, I haven't sent Blue Label books in forever. You know, and yeah. I couldn't even tell you what the turnaround times are. So, all right, that's enough CGC talk, because I said I wasn't going to talk about it. All right. Last but not least, sticking in the community, time to call out people, because I can't stand people that make videos that are absolutely,
more ranting, huh?
More ranting. So, and I don't care, like, feel free to, if you guys follow this person, feel free to send them our link and let them know that we're talking about him. Sticky Goose Comics. So he made a video this past week called I made a fake account to buy a comic book rail. So we're going to listen to the first 2 minutes of this video, because I'm not going to have you really, it's fine. You can listen to it. You don't need to watch it, because it's mostly listening anyway for the first 2 minutes. So we're going to go ahead and listen to this, and then we're going to talk about this. So
Okay. Let's
go ahead and listen to the Sticky Goose.
Good. You just know how to hide.
I did it. I didn't think I'd ever have to do this, but I made an alternate account. I asked Mother Goose too many times to do my dirty work. I asked Mother Goose too many times to buy things on these online retailers when I was the one receiving the package. And I knew what I had to do. I had to make an alternate account. I had to make a fake, bogus account, but not just any account would do. I had to make one that would completely divert any attention away from me. One so foolproof, it would never be detected by outside means. So I was able to hack this system. I was able to buy a Grail comic book online at a great price, mind you, using an alternate fake account. And you may be asking yourself, why would you do this? Why would you make such a fake account? Why would you be the villain that we all know you are? It's because I wanted a good deal on this comic book. I really wanted a good price. So I made the account with the name Ronald Ray Gunn. It didn't come easy. It didn't come quick, but I knew this is what I had to do. Ronald Ray Gunn was born in the Sticky Goose Empire. He was born in the depths and despair of being blocked from an online comic book retailer. And now I will show you what Ronald Ray Gunn's first purchase has become. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I bought a true comic book grail, one of the best comic book covers of all time, from an online retailer that's blocked me. So without further ado, let's bust into this box and let's take a look and see if I got what I paid for.
Okay. Let's go.
That was really long.
I said it was going to be about 2 minutes. All right. So the full video is 8 minutes and 25 seconds. That was 2 minutes of it. So the first 2 minutes is all about this, exactly what he posts. I made a fake account to buy a grail. And then the next 6 minutes plus is literally just talking about the book. He bought some, it's the Silver Surfer 4 with Thor and Surfer on the cover. And yeah, just talking about like the book itself, like census and prices and stuff like that. Not anything near where I had to make a fake account. So let's kind of talk about and how I want to rant about this, because this is why people in this community are like, so they do things for certain reasons. Like they, you know, you made this video. He even says, he's like, you know, I had to make a fake account because I had to get, you know, a book. You didn't have to go ahead and even make this video. You made this video so you can get clicks, right? Like, that's clearly why you made this video, because you literally talked for all of 2 minutes about how you had to make a fake account just so you could buy a book. Maybe you should spend the entire video talking about the book or talking about this fake account. Then why are you banned from this quote-unquote retailer?
That's what I don't know. What'd you do to piss this retailer off?
And then on the third thing is, what retailer? Why are you so scared to say, like, who it is? Oh, because I don't want them to know my address. This is the book that I bought. So, oh, they're going to track me for the next time that I try to buy a book off of them. I just don't get these people, and I don't get this community. Like, if you were for, like, why? Why make this video and not call these people out?
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly couldn't care less. Like, good for you, dude. Like, no one, like, you did it. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to say, because I don't care. Like, that's how much I don't care about this. I'm just like, it's irrelevant. You made a video about something that's like, who gives a shit, dude? Like, you made a fake account to buy shit. Okay, whatever, dude. Like, it's not new. I'm sure a ton of people do that. I'd be more interested, like you said, like, would you do? Who was it you pissed off? How'd you piss him off?
Yeah.
And then also, if you did something screwed up to this dude or this person, this vendor, like, at least shout them out, because obviously they have good ass deals, because like, you're shopping from them. So yeah, they can't be totally bad if they have good deals. Like, I don't know, man. Whatever.
It just blows my mind. Like, if I had a problem with, I don't care if it's Frankie's or Comic Mint or fucking KRS or whoever it is, I would tell you flat out, like, yeah, I got banned. Obviously we've been doing this now for 4 years. Like, we've said, you know, who's blocked us or this and that, like, I don't get it. Like, why make a video? And then on top of that, and I love these people, you know, if you go and check out the video and look at all the cool hashtags, what, two of the hashtags say Epic Nation and Nerdy Girl Comics. So was Nerdy Girl the person that, or was it Epic? I doubt it. But like, again, what, and then manipulation is another hashtag. Yo, the clickbait is just so unreal in this community. So if you guys like him, feel free to show him and let him know about it, that I decided to talk about him, because I feel like I just need to call some people out this week.
I would have never even stumbled upon this. Like,
I randomly just follow everybody and I search things, or if it just shows up on my feed, you know, I just saw the name of it. I made a fake account. I'm like, okay, let's check this out. And like I said, for 2 minutes, it's that what we all just listened to. And the next 6 minutes is him talking about the Silver Surfer number 4 and never again mentioning the retailer, never again mentioning the fake account or anything. It's just like, I'm like, I don't get it. So whatever. Yeah. Well, okay.
Let's get into some comic book news. Let's actually talk about some shit that matters, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we got a really cool article over here. Something that's awesome, sad, very
nobody's talking about it because everybody's talking about CGC.
No, we couldn't care less about CGC, dude. It's so dumb.
But this is big news.
This is big news. So
nobody's talking about this.
I saw this over at Bleeding Cool, but we're going to go off of the Justin found this at comicbook.com. This is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Jason Aaron to write relaunched series for IDW Publishing exclusive. Or IDW Publishing. This is an exclusive interview with him. So basically, TMNT over at IDW, the current ongoing, is going to be ending sometime this year. This is also the 40th anniversary of TMNT, with issue 150 is going to come out. And Jason Aaron is going to take over and start writing TMNT. Seems like there's going to be a whole new universe, a new take on Ninja Turtles. How much difference? How much the same? We don't really know yet. There's going to be like a prelude story in the relaunch called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Alpha number 1. It's a one shot that's going on sale in June. And then they're going to come back with TMNT number 1 in July. So Jason Aaron's obviously like a great writer. So this is exciting, but it's also very sad for those who've like listened, know that I love the current IDW TMNT run. I think it's been amazing. But I get it. Like, especially with characters like Ninja Turtles, right? Like Ninja Turtles, I think that's why this run has been so great, because those can be hard characters. Look, it's almost like the Fantastic Four, right? In a way. And I don't just mean because of the numbers, but you have four characters that always have to be around and you have to give good game time to. And how do you really create like a universe? It's not like the Avengers or the X-Men where you can keep the roster rotating, right? Like you have all these characters and people to keep them going. So it can be tough to still have fresh ideas, but they did a really good job with it. They did introduce the new characters. They introduced, obviously, like fan favorite characters from the cartoons and the toys, and merged their stories. You had the really awesome storylines with, the Pantheon, I think is what they were called. Like they turned Rat King into like a Pantheon member and these different gods, and they brought in like made Shredder and Kitsune like totally different. The whole
Jenica,
yeah, obviously Jenica coming in, becoming a turtle as well. The thing I really liked this was like, one thing about this is they're like the reincarnated kids of Splinter. So that was always like a really cool take of this run. So Splinter's kids were killed back in like feudal Japan, and the turtles are actually their spirits reincarnated in their turtle bodies. Splinter as well, with the rat, of course, and the it's kind of like his family's back to him. So it's not like the classic story of like, oh, he, you know, found these four turtles, mutated, and then raised them as sons. You know, it's a little bit more depth to it. Not by no means am I shitting on those old stories. I just like this new take. I thought it was cool. But yeah, so, you know, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it, but Justin, what do you think? I know, is this the perfect time now, or are you happy you didn't buy the hardcovers, or will you now buy the hardcovers?
Well, if I can get the hardcovers really cheaper, it may be a good time. But, you know, I know you said it's
cheaper, though, right?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, so they say it's a notable relaunch and not a reboot. I think it's perfect. You know, Jason Aaron is, you know, the person that brought the Star Wars universe. Like, he was the first person that wrote New Marvel, like, once, you know, after Dark Horse and Star Wars went back to Marvel. And that run was great. Like, his initial Star Wars run was great. I think if it's a reboot and not a continuation, like, yeah, I think this is a good jump. And this is what it is. It's a good jumping on point because, yeah, I think it's going to go to 150 is my, I think that was the total number on the run.
Did I say one? Well, what did I say?
You didn't say anything.
Oh, sorry. I thought I said 150.
You didn't say any number, but I think that's what it is. Like you're having these characters that have been around now, I mean, when did like number one come out? Like the, not the original, but like the IDW.
2011.
Yeah. So, you know, to go back and try to get all those issues and to read it from there, it's like, man, that's kind of tough. Cause some of those issues, like you wouldn't be able to, you'd probably just end up buying like trade paperbacks and hardcovers just to read it. But, you know, now you got a jumping on point. So yeah, they're going to do the alpha and then they're going to do basically the 2024 TMNT. Obviously we just had the latest movie come out last year. So it's kind of kickstarted things, right? Like that yeah. Ninja Turtles movie was good. A lot, it got, you know, got praise. So now it's like, all right, hey, now's the perfect time. Let's relaunch the series.
Get new readers. And that's, yeah. I mean, that's a big thing too, right? Like that's, we talk about it with DC and Marvel. It's hard to get new readers. How do you jump into Spider-Man? We don't get, we always trash Marvel and DC about the new number ones, right? Oh, number one, number one, number one. But like the reason they do that, besides making more money, obviously, is to also try to make it more accessible for new readers. And 150 issues of Turtles, this is the longest running Turtle run of all time. Like this is the most bogged down, if you were to say it in like a negative light, of like story that you can't just really jump into. You couldn't pick up issue 150 and just hit the ground running, you know? So it makes sense, man, but it's sad. It was a good era, really great era.
Yeah, so. I know there's like, I haven't read most of it. I've read like, I've opened up books and pieces and, you know, like, I feel like every 50 issues was like a milestone or like something big happened.
Oh
like
yeah.
50 was like with I mean, I'm not going to spoil it, but like Donatello, obviously right around the 100, you had Jenica.
75, you had Krang. You had the death of Krang.
Like I didn't know that, but thanks for spoiling it.
Well, he doesn't.
I was trying not to spoil it for our listeners. Whatever, and you're out there.
In the end, like people can come back, but yeah, I mean, yeah, 70, you had the City at War, the classic City at War storyline at one point. Yeah,
and then the Monster Town after like 100 with Jenica and all that stuff. Yeah. But like, that's what it is like now is the time because they also have that TMNT, like Saturday morning cartoons, which is like fun for things that we grew up on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think this is a perfect time. And I'm excited to check out a new number one because again, and unless I can get all whatever it is, 15, 16 hardcovers, like at a good price, I think that's long-term. So I think going like back to that run is actually probably pretty good to read, right? Because like trying to read the Mirage stuff is
it's hard.
Not good.
Yeah.
The Archie stuff that came after that was more of the cartoon stuff, but this is a more adult themed like Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. So what do you like envision or what do you hope for? Do you hope for like a, cause they tried in one of the cartoons and I don't know if it's the one that's still going on or if it didn't really succeed where it was like now Raphael was the leader of the Turtles. Do we do a personality switch? Do we rotate the Turtles a little bit? What do we do to keep it fresh?
I always go back to that 2007 TMNT movie where like Leo left and like it was just Raph, Donnie and Mikey, and like Raph was kind of like that badass, and you know the Turtles really weren't the Turtles, but you know I'm sure you could still build a story around that, maybe where it's just the three of them in the beginning, like maybe like let's say like the first two story arcs and Leo's out doing something or not even seen. Mm-hmm. And eventually he's brought back. That's my take. You know, that would be an interesting story, but you know, I don't know. But I think Jason Aaron's going to do an amazing job. Straight up amazing job.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not saying I don't know if he'll do a good job. I'm sure he will. I'm trying to think like what's new. What could you do to spice up the Turtles? That I think it needs spicing up. I mean, Turtles are great, dude. Like the Turtles are just, you could almost just, don't change anything, just your new take on a story, your new take on like the Mutanimals, who's a part of the Mutanimals, like Dimension X, what you want to do with it. Like there's so much fun stuff to do with the Turtles. But it is, like I said, it's disappointing. I'm assuming now, because I think there's already 18 hardcovers up. So you're probably going to be looking at 25 when you round out all the way to like 150, 25 of those hardcovers, maybe with all the crossovers and spinoffs that they've done as well. We'll see how many they end up, those books that end up being, dude. Kind of glad I gave up on them, to be honest. They're really cool, but there's just way too many of them.
Oh yeah. You know, you and I talked about it. And I think at one point I showed you, I had a bunch of them in my cart.
Yeah.
On IG, on Amazon. I mean, you could kind of get the trade paperbacks, which are fairly cheap. Like whether you go on like Amazon in stock trades, they're like 20 or 30 bucks. They cover a lot, but those hardcovers are pretty badass. And to be honest, I don't want to get into that because I literally just sold like a ton of trades and hardcovers. So
right.
Well, maybe they'll do like get more
now that it's ending. Maybe they'll do like more of like an omnibus or like what Walking Dead did. Like what was the
compendiums?
Compendiums. Yeah. Maybe they'll do more compendiums, which, and that's the way to do it. Like, 50, for all like 50 yep. issues in each one or something.
That'd be great. So, that actually would be pretty cool.
And that I would probably get as well because it's a fun run. So
yeah.
So cool, man. So yeah, so check that out. If you are following with TMNT, you'll be looking out for, looks like maybe around, you know, I don't know if they're taking a month off or not, April or May, issue, oversized issue 150 will be coming out, which will be ending TMNT, the current iteration.
Yeah, they still got stuff. I'm looking at DCBS. I mean, they still got the pre-orders going for the ongoing, at least, you know, I don't even know.
I think one, yeah, I mean, we're on like 146 or 147 is the last issue I think I read.
Yeah, so maybe like a free comic book day. Obviously the alpha that that's in the article they talk about, so.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. So, what do you think about, you know, we had this article I think a couple of weeks ago, but I don't think we never got to it. Was the new Last Ronin, what's it called, like Re-Evolution is like the next series?
Yeah, with the four new ones.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on that?
I mean, I enjoyed Last Ronin. I read Lost Years, and it was cool. Lost Years was cool. It was kind of like, I don't know, you had like an old story with Michelangelo in between before he came back and started before the events of Last Ronin. And then you also got some like fresh story on the new four turtles as well. It could be cool, man. Like I'm not opposed to it. I think I would check it out. I think I'm going to read them when they come out, to see what the new turtles are like. But I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not excited, but I'm pretty like, I'll read it. I'll check it out.
But I just feel like it's kind of, it could have been such a classic story. Like kind of how like Frank Miller did the Dark Knight Returns, and it was four issues and then it was like untouched for many years. And then he tried to do the Dark Knight or Dark Knight Returns 2, or I can't even think of the name of the title because it was so bad. Like the 90s. And then, of course, in like the mid 2000s, he did the Master Race, which was Dark Knight 3. But I feel like they're milking this, and I could see why they're milking this because IDW has nothing besides this, basically, because they lost Transformers, they lost G.I. Joe. So they're milking the Ninja Turtles thing. I don't know. I just don't see the need for another, you know, like, oh, here's four new turtles again. Like, let's just, it's the future. Like, that original storyline was perfect. And it should just let it sink in for at least a year or two. And then maybe in like 2 or 3 years, you could have did the Lost Years. But now I feel like now they're just, it's just milking the pot for TMNT.
Like, I get what you're saying. I definitely, these like end stories, like, you know, Marvel used to do like X-Men, the end, Avengers, the end, like the death stories, right? Basically like characters and stuff. They're always very strong if you just leave it alone, but they never do. Right. And so it's like, I think even if you wouldn't have introduced the four turtles, the four new ones, and you just had it end the way it did with Michelangelo taking down like Shredder's grandson or whatever. And
you're just seeing the little turtles, right?
And and you could see some turtles or even like, you know, April and Casey's daughter is kind of like doing her own dojo with like humans, you know, I don't know, something, but and just leave it ambiguous, leave it to the future, leave it to like, you know, yeah, I'm with you. You didn't need to do more. But you know, it sells, I guess.
Yeah, money's money.
Right? Yeah, and who knows? It could be a good story. Well, like I said, I'll check it out. I'm gonna check it out.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you have another article?
Nope, that's all I got.
Okay. Well, then let's round this bad boy out and talk about what we're currently reading. Why don't you go ahead and lead us off here?
Sure. So honorable mention this week is the final issue of Bounty Hunters number 42. It's a good, you know, Bounty Hunters was up and down for the most part. But at the very end on like the back panel, there's a very nice long article or letter from Ethan Sachs, the writer. And you got to think about it. He wrote all 42 issues,
which is impressive.
Yes. Obviously the storyline or the initial series started off great because you had Paolo Villanelli, the Italian artist, like it was such good art. Like, and I was like, that was amazing. And then interchanging artists is always tough because it kind of like throws you off of like what you were previously reading. Sometimes you don't recognize the character because of the way they change it a little bit. Obviously the, all of the tie-ins that they had to do with bounty hunters, but he wrote this very nice article, you know, talking about like, you know, his Wednesday Zoom calls with like Charles Soule and the, like the people that were writing Greg Pak and like whoever, I can't think of who was writing after at the time, but you know, that, all that stuff. And then talking with people from like LucasArts of like all these, you know, the nerd people that know like all the lore for like, you know, Star Wars. But the ending of 42 was actually very good. Like, obviously it rounds out Valance's story. He goes to Jabba's palace to destroy this droid and you find, did you read it?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. So like, I'm spoiling it. It's fine. You know, he goes and he destroys that droid and lo and behold, the whole reason of this, like kind of like this whole series was to help the rebels to get Han. So like, that was like the way, you know, it basically was to take a, like a piece off the board at Jabba's palace, because if the rebels would have came in to help try to save Han, they had to deal with that giant mech droid, which was introduced in one, I think it was like the Yoda storyline. They even notate it.
Yeah.
And then just like the characters that were introduced in the storyline, how they talk about the whole Hunters League, right? At the end, like they have a place in the galaxy. Like there's always something to do. They look out for each other, even though they hate each other. I thought like that was very, you know, interesting, because that's what it is. They're not a team, but they are an affiliation to each other. So I liked it. 42 ending, bounty hunters. Got to talk about one, White Widow 3. I swear every time I read these issues, I cannot not read it without putting Florence Pugh's Yelena Belova. Like the way she talks, and I've never read anything White Widow previously, like other than like her first appearance, I've never read anything in between. So like when I literally read this, I'm like, they pretty much like pulled this right out of, you know, like the TV show and the Black Widow, you know, Black Widow movie and, you know, Hawkeye and stuff like that. So it's just so great to like, I enjoy reading it because that's what I envision. I envision, you know, Florence Pugh's character talking, the way, you know, the way she speaks. So, that's definitely an up there and an honorable mention. And I would say my top pick is Cobra Commander number one.
Oh, damn it. You picked it.
Sorry. Okay.
I'll switch mine.
Yeah.
So good, dude.
It's yeah. So, good. So now here's the thing, like, and I'm not going to spoil too much, but, and I don't know too much of G.I. Joe, but I do love that they immediately went to the Cobra Law thing. Mm-hmm. I love how they immediately went to like Galobulus and Pantera. Like those are characters that you never saw until the G.I. Joe animated movie. And that's, other than the Transformers animated movie, it's still like hands down the second best animated movie ever.
Yeah, they're kind of like deep cut characters.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like just origin wise, because I feel like that's when I started watching like G.I. Joe was like after that, like with Serpentor and everything past that. So really cool to see kind of like the previous, you know, kind of like his origin, like rebooted in a way, was awesome. And then you kind of just, it skips forward. And obviously now it sets up Cobra with the Dreadnoughts in issue two. But then there's this, you know, underlying thing that's happening in this Energon universe, which I feel like it's a money grab, because now it's like you have to read all these series, right?
Hey man, it's all connected, dude.
I know, but it's like
no different than what Marvel did. It's all connected.
I know, but we never had like this huge of a crossover where you, between Void Rivals, Duke, Transformers, Cobra. Like
Cobra and Duke are only 5 issues, so it's not like a massive money grab. They're only going to be little mini series, and then Joe will be like its own. And I think it's just trying to get it off the ground. I think as you move forward, they won't be. Maybe, who knows? Maybe they won't be so interconnected, but I think it's cool, dude. I think.
Oh no, I get it. No. I'm not saying it's not cool, but it was pretty awesome.
Oh, I remember. I was like, whoa, awesome.
Well, did you see the 1 in 100 variant, the foil variant?
Was that the spoiler one?
Yeah.
No, I've just seen them as they like show them. You know, like spoiler.
Oh, dude, it's such a cool foil cover.
Oh yeah, you like foil now all of a sudden?
I don't know, man. They could have did it without foil, but they had to do it with foil. But anyway, no, that 1 in 100 is really nice. But it's not like I'm going to go out and then grab it. But Yeah, so obviously pick of the week had to be Cobra Commander number one.
I don't, online it's only showing me like spoiler covers. Like I can't.
Oh, see I'll show it to you once we're done recording.
Yeah, let me know.
All right, what about you? What do you
Well, that was definitely gonna be one of my picks. so honorable mention, Cable number one just came out, and this is written by Fabian Nicesi. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Awesome. Who's written Cable in the past, written X-Force in the past, stuff like that. So it's a return to the character. It's got the Fall of X imprint on it. Obviously, we're still dealing with some of like the Orkies and stuff like that, but it's not necessarily tied into the Fall of X storyline that's going on, it doesn't feel like. But it's really cool because it's adult Cable, you know, main Cable. And he has to go rescue young Cable, the kid Cable that we've had recently. So it's double Cable fun. You got both kid Cable and adult Cable, and they're cruising around in this book. And it was really cool. I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to like moving forward. And there's funny callbacks about like the size of his guns and his pouches. And he said, he makes comments like, so obviously like if you've been following Fall of X and everything, or the X-Men stuff, they've Orkies has hijacked the Sentinels, right? But they've used Iron Man's tech and put them in Sentinels, so they're like Iron Man Sentinels is basically what they are.
And yeah, because that was shown in what was last week's X-Men book that what they had that in.
Yeah, it's been going on for a while.
Oh, in the Sabretooth, they showed that.
Yeah.
Oh, real quick before you continue, yeah. I wanted to ask you a question on that Wolverine issue. Mm-hmm. Who was the other character with Dakin that was in the snow?
Oh, some like tentacle dude, that guy?
Is it? I don't know.
I'll have to look. I got it right here. I'll look.
I meant to ask you another. Obviously, you're talking X-Men. It hit into my mind. So,
what was I saying? Oh, anyway, so he makes a comment like, "Oh, you know, these new Sentinels are really tough. In the past, I would have had something in one of my pouches that could have like taken them out." You know, so it's just kind of like fun Cable comments. So that was cool. But then, I guess my pick of the week, it was going to be Cobra Commander, but and I haven't read, there's a couple of books I haven't read yet, but I picked up, I thought maybe you'd picked it up, but I picked up Avengers Twilight number one.
That would have been, if you would have gone first, I figured you would have picked Cobra, and then I would have picked, I would have picked Twilight.
So obviously Avengers Twilight, Chip Zdarsky, art by Daniel Acuna, and this is kind of a, you know, Avengers the end type stories, and in the future. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really kind of cool. I'm excited to see where it's going. I like the callbacks to, you know, the formation of the Avengers, Tony and Wasp having a son. There's new Avengers out there now that basically it's become like legacy, you know, handles, which is so funny because it's almost like Marvel. It's almost like Zdarsky's like poking fun at Marvel, because that's exactly what Marvel does, right? So they're like, oh, this is this horrible universe where like there's a new Captain America and a new Thor and a new Thor and a new Captain America. Mm-hmm. And that's the same shit Marvel does in their actual publishing. That's all they do, dude. So but yeah, it was really cool. It was fun seeing like, you know, old Luke Cage, old Daredevil. Mm-hmm. But it's a cool story, and I felt like it was very, very poignant in terms of like things that are going on right now with like disinformation in like our current world. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, there's this whole scene where they set up, I'm not going to give like too many spoilers away or anything, but like some event has occurred where villains came at the heroes and there was tons of damage. People died. And obviously like it was more damage, which is weird to say, than usual, I guess, for these events. And the public has like kind of lost their luster, so to speak, with the heroes, and they don't necessarily hold as much like weight as they used to. And then there's this whole like disinformation campaign going on about how Red Skull was like secretly wasn't a bad Nazi. He was actually trying to overthrow Hitler, but then like Captain America came in and he's like this fascist or something. And it's just so like typical of like the stuff you hear in the media now, like the disinformation stuff, right? Like where one side is pitching the story differently, and Cap's sitting here listening like, the hell are you talking about? Yeah, he was trying to kill Hitler because he wants to take over the world. Like, what? That doesn't make him a good person just because he wanted to kill Hitler. Like, everyone wanted to do that. So I found it very, like, very poignant and strong as like a story, kind of like playing off of our times a little bit. And I'm excited to see where it goes. I can't remember if it's going to be 10 or 12 issues, but maybe
I think it's an odd number. I think it is 11.
Is it?
I feel like, Yeah, I think it's like an odd number like that.
Okay. I don't know. But I'm excited. I thought it was a good pickup. You guys should check it out. Avengers Twilight, obviously, is what it's called. So that's it. That's what I got for this week. So nice. I think it kind of wraps it up for us. This is
Echo.
Oh yeah, we do want to do a quick echo. Okay, we got about 5 to 10, 6 minutes. So we're gonna do a quick echo review, minute per episode. We have 5 minutes left. So obviously Echo dropped it was a couple weeks ago now. At this
week, not even. Yeah, it was literally last Tuesday.
I've lost track of time. So dropped it, all 5 episodes. Let's talk about that first. What was your feeling about, story aside, nothing like that? You think it was a good decision for them to not only drop all 5 episodes at once and also the weird number of episodes? What did you think about that?
So now it's like this new, it's called Marvel Spotlight.
Yeah.
Right.
Like a
new
imprint, right?
Yeah. So they kind of went with like a short, I think that's why they went with shorter episodes. So I don't know. Like,
The run times were different too. Like some of the run times were only like 32 minutes, some were like 48 minutes, and it was kind of weird.
Yeah, I feel like depending on like what the story, how the story was driven, is also based on the time. But I don't know. You know, I never liked the all dropping at once because, again, like if you're not someone who has the time to binge watch it in one day, like you're kind of screwed. Like I enjoyed the What If dropping every day because it's a cartoon. Do I think this would have done better, or, you know, could this have done like a, you know, cause they, you know how like, even like NBC, CBS, sometimes they would do those like a weekly, you know, some like series would drop like every day. Like it would be like, oh, this limited weekly event. Uh-huh. It would be like whatever show it was every night would be like a different episode for this series. So I think that's probably what they should have done, was started on a Monday and then ended it on a Friday. So people had enough time to be like, hey, every night at like dinner time, we could watch it, or like 8, 9 o'clock type of thing. Like you could watch it before you go to bed, instead of, because literally it dropped last Tuesday and I already watched the first 2 episodes. And then I waited a couple of days. I watched episode 3. And then, like I said to you before we started recording, I was playing video games and I was like, oh man, I got to finish the last 2 episodes or we're not going to be able to like review this week. So, you know.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about it either. Obviously, like Netflix, like you think of Stranger Things, right? Netflix, like one of the big shows that dropped, it was boom, initially all 8 episodes of Stranger Things. And it was so strong and you loved it, and binging it was so much fun. It was great. And sometimes that works. But I kind of felt like, and we'll talk about opinions of the show here in a second, but sometimes I wonder, like when you dropped, because Marvel did this, I wonder if they felt like their story was strong enough to go weekly. You know what I mean? And I will say that I'm not saying I disliked Echo at all, but I don't know that the plot was strong enough to wait week for week to week to try to deal with, to deal with the show, like to listen to. Because you're like, not a lot happened in every episode. There weren't massive points that happened in every episode to carry you over a week later. So maybe they knew that. I don't know. But so what'd you think? What'd you think? What was your opinion on the show?
All right, so it's definitely going to be on the bottom. And so here's the thing, because I don't know if it's, do I still consider it part of like the MCU, like WandaVision, Hawkeye, like all those, or is it like, this is the first of the Marvel Spotlight, so I have to judge this differently, right? It's like different. Will I ever watch it again? Probably not. This show was very tough to watch because, and again, this is not a dig at people that have to use sign language, but like I said to some people, it's like you can't be on your phone because you'll miss stuff, because
that's true. Yeah,
when she speaks, there's literally no sound, only when the other actors, they'll sign language, but and they'll say something, but you still need to be paying attention. And then there's times where neither of them say anything, it's just sign language, so you can't be on your phone, you can't be doing other things, you can't walk away, like you said you were cooking or something.
Yeah, I was trying to cook and I had to stop. I was like, yeah, okay, I don't want to pause this for now.
You know what it is, this show didn't know what it wanted to be. It didn't know if it wanted to be a mob like revenge storyline, it didn't know if it wanted to be like a supernatural storyline, or it didn't really know if it wanted to be Ghost Rider fucking storyline, because I feel like the entire show was her riding around on that Continental GT, because I had to look that up because it's an amazing bike, but that's literally what it is. I feel like every scene she's always riding the motorcycle. They must have gotten so much money to put that bike in the show, or like just the marketing. Cause I even went online and I saw some article, like this person talking about it and how it's like souped up and this and that, but that's what it is. Like, I just felt like the show didn't know where it wanted to go.
I didn't think of it that way. And I think that's a really good point.
Like, there's times like, you know, the way the first two episodes started off with the whole, like the whole history, and I'm just like, where is this going? Like, again, I know Echo a little bit has like these supernatural type of powers, but it was just like, you know, even like episode like one, how it started off and she, you know, had this cut and she was bleeding. Like, where did she get that from? Was that like from New York and she drove all the way back to Oklahoma like that? Like, there's no.
I said the same thing. And it was like a month later or something. I was like, so she's had that bullet wound for a month. Like, what's going on?
That made no. So that like made no sense. And like, I've been thinking about that the whole time while I'm watching the show. I'm like, well, or it's never going to get explained. Right.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, I just overall, it really wasn't a good series. You know, obviously, everybody was waiting for Daredevil, and Daredevil was all in it for, you know, 3 minutes in the first episode. And obviously, they're praising like Kingpin, Vincent D'Onofrio's performance. But really, was it a strong performance, or was it just like he was there?
I mean, I enjoyed it because I like the characters, right? But I definitely was disappointed there wasn't more Daredevil. I mean, I felt like it was pitched that way, that it was going to be, and they're pretty much saying this is what leads into Daredevil Born Again, which doesn't really make sense except of outside. I mean, we're spoiling, right? We're spoiling here.
Yeah. This is obviously this.
So obviously, the end where it's, you know, it's hinting that Kingpin's going to run for mayor. That's probably what they mean. It's going to play into Daredevil Born Again. But I'm with you on with the idea of like they didn't know what they wanted to be. So like initially, she gets to her like hometown or whatever in Oklahoma, and she's like, her whole game plan is to become the queen pin. I mean, that's basically what she said, right? She's like, oh, yeah. I'm going to try to take over the business. That seemed really half-assed too. She did like one thing where, let's keep in mind, she murdered a lot of people. Like, maybe they might've been bad guys, but she murdered a lot of people. It's like, she's not a good person. So, and then that happened like all of one episode really. And then, like you said, it wasn't like, they didn't know what she was trying to do. Was she trying to be a mobster? Was she trying to get right with her family? And then she's got the suit at the end, and it's like, but even that felt a little rushed. Like, I didn't feel like the connection was there. I didn't feel like the connection was there from where she was at trying to be Queenpin episode one to like, oh, I'm a good guy now episode five. It just seemed strange. Obviously Alacqua Cox was amazing. You know, it's hard to do. I can't imagine the difficulty of trying to write a show around a lead character who's deaf and disabled as well, you know, and for her to crush it. I mean, she crushed it. Like, I don't think anyone can argue she was an amazing Echo, right? So that was cool. You're right about the Kingpin stuff. Like, the Kingpin was awesome, but like when you say praising his acting, like, but was there anything different than what he's been in Kingpin or what we've seen already? No, not really, dude. So
I didn't understand. You know what the one part I didn't understand was, like, why was, and I think they showed this in Hawkeye, like when he picks her up at the school. Did they show that in Hawkeye?
They showed a couple scenes when she was young and he was like visiting her.
The thing is, I don't understand that because her father was still alive at that point. So like, why is like he picking her up? And
I guess they're just implying they had a strong connection. And then even then, like, her father was out doing fucking dirt, you know, so he couldn't pick her up from school. So Kingpin had to come and bloody some hot dog salesman up. But I don't know. I mean, I'm disappointed because I was hoping for more.
Yeah.
And once again, you know, and look, I'm not trying, gosh, man, it's so, you have to be so careful what you say these days, but like, there was so much extraneous characters that like didn't move the story. Like, her cousin, worthless character, no plot point.
Oh, you don't like Biscuits?
Biscuits, worthless except for the one time. I mean, that could have been like a, could have made that person an Uber driver. That was as important as it was. Like, he drove her so she could jump on a train. That was it.
Yeah.
The only relative that really made a difference was maybe like the grandma and then the, her bad uncle. Right. But like all of like the time spent on her family and everything, like, it wasn't needed, and it didn't make any, it didn't beef up the story at all. And I know people are like, well, you know, Native American culture and, you know, representation, and like, yeah, okay, but like, the story sucked. I don't want to tell you. Like, so what does that mean? That culture doesn't tell good stories? We know that's not the truth, right? Like, you can make a good story. Like, they could have, I mean, bro, like, lean into, you said it really well, the supernatural aspect. The Native American culture, yo, why didn't they lean into that heavier? That was tiptoed around. Like, it wasn't delved into, like, really lean into the supernatural aspect. In like the creator, the writer didn't want to give her like mimic powers. He thought they were lame. So he went supernatural. Yeah. Like, but then he half-assed that. So I don't know, man. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. That's where, again, I just didn't know where it was going. Like, yeah, like the cool part, like when she's on the train and, you know, she blows up the shipping yard. Like, you're like, all right, cool. This is what it's going to be. And you know, it's another thing that bothers me is the entire series up until like the last, like maybe minute of the show, she's got pouty face on. She's totally got like, she just like never smiles. Anything, like, just is completely like, it's not sad, but just like, so just like mean, obscured, whatever. And then finally, like, yeah, then she meets up with her family. And I would have liked it where realistically, it should have ended maybe with her going back to New York. And like Daredevil seeing her, but
right,
like that would have been cool. But there's, it just made no sense. Like,
yeah, I don't.
Now we're gonna see her again. She's definitely not gonna be in the Daredevil show.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
She's supposedly supposed to be.
Unless like towards the, maybe there's like an episode like where the same thing, like where Daredevil showed up and She-Hulk just for like to help out. Like, maybe you're gonna get her for one episode to help, but I don't see her being like anything, you know, long term, because I've already heard like that there's these character, like villains are showing up, like people are rumored to be showing up in Daredevil. And
well, look, if she shows up, she better not be taken away any time from like Kingpin, Punisher, and like the big guys. Like, give her 2 minutes like Daredevil was given. Which that fight scene though was awesome. Like, I love
it. Yeah, it was cool. Fight scenes are cool, but there was still I said, it was a motorcycle commercial. The entire show was a motorcycle commercial.
There was a lot of motorcycling and for no purpose.
Driving around that town.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's our Echo review from the Comic-Con podcast. You know, like, not the worst, not the best. I was disappointed because I wanted more. Real quick, since we're talking about Disney, you know, it's kind of coming out from She-Hulk actress Tatiana that, she doesn't know if they're going to do a season two because they spent too much money on season one. It's like, there's so many funny things that are coming out. Like, oh yeah, maybe you should have had that twerking scene with Megan Thee Stallion. Would have saved some money there.
Didn't need a huge actress or rapper or whatever to show up in the episode for all of, you know, 2 minutes.
And that's so sad, dude. They blew their budget on this show, and like, it was a little lackluster. But whatever. Anyway, that's all we got this week. That's episode 3, season 4. Justin, anything for the peoples out there?
Just, you know, make sure you're following me on Whatnot. Also, please check out my eBay page. Been posting and listing a lot of stuff on my eBay page. You can find it on any of our Instagram links, either myself, the Comic-Con podcast, or Milton's bio. It's in there. So, you know, both Zach and I have been selling a lot on there. I've been really posting a ton of stuff. So make sure you check that out. And then, you know, like I said, I will be at MegaCon in about 2 weeks. And then, you know, what else is going on for the podcast, sir?
April 5th. It's kind of our next big thing, right? April 5th. I got the date right, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, King Kong.
I ran into Greg, MTG Comics, this past weekend at Clifton, and we were talking about it, and he was telling me that, you know, some of the possible artists or writers that he's trying to get, you know, he's still talking with some people for, you know, that one day thing. So, you know, tickets are on sale, and Saturday, April 6th, it's going to be fun. So almost right around the corner. So
Awesome. Yeah, I can't wait.
Creeping up on us. So yeah, make sure if you get a chance up in North Jersey, Park Ridge, New Jersey, at the Marriott Saturday, April 6th. Of course, you know, we're bringing our friend V. Ken Marion. 3 months away.
Sweet. Well, everybody, thanks for listening in, and have a great week, and we will catch you next week. Talk to you later.
Hey, comic book collectors. Do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com, and use the code ComicCon15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.